We're joined in the studio by some amazing people doing great work in the Toledo area from Team Recovery.
Yeah.
You know, Christine, I'd like you to do the introductions because you say Juan's name so good.
Yes, I do. Well, and I, you know what I think about when I say it, what my mom would say, because if I don't say it right and with the Spanish accent to it, I get in trouble. So, and I'm 50. FYI.
Well, see, I don't even say my, I have a Spanish last name and I don't even say it right.
Verdugo.
Verdugo. Yeah, there you go. I think I said it right this time. Duarte. All right, so introductions.
So we
again.
Have Matt Bell, who is the founder of Team Recovery, who just gave a part of his phenomenal testimony. And Juan Duarte, who is the president of the board of directors, who also has a really cool story. And I can't wait to hear how you guys met. I'm like on the edge of my seat here.
Yeah. I mean, we're bringing this whole story together this morning. And in case you're missing any pieces of it, no worries, because this is being recorded this morning and we'll be putting it out on our Facebook page, our website as well. So you can share it, re-listen, whatever you'd like to do. But we'll have that in your hands very soon. So thank you, Matt, earlier sharing your testimony. We'll be hearing more from you in a few. But Juan, we're turning it over to you.
All right.
We want to know about you, your walk in addiction and recovery as well.
Yeah, yeah. So I wasn't born in Toledo, but I got here pretty much raised here, 4 years old. And I was introduced. I knew addiction from early on. Mm-hmm. My uncles were both heroin addicts, alcoholics. I seen it from a 4 or 5 years old. You know, I knew to stay away from certain things. My parents made me aware of certain things I had to, and you know, it was tough, you know, lower socioeconomic, early on, lived with 8 siblings in a 2-bedroom duplex. It was tough. My parents, worked really hard. My mom is just a queen. She's an angel, the best mom in the world. And my dad, you know, very strict, very righteous man. And they raised me the best they could. One thing I knew, there's two things that I want to say here really quick, is I knew from about the age of 4 that I wanted to help people. Yeah. I knew that early on in my life, that was what I was called to do. And another thing is that I've always been restless, irritable, and discontent. I've always had a feeling of unsettledness. And much like Matt, I went through my life and I really, my first addiction too was other people's approval. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to find a way to fill whatever felt like it was missing from my life. And I was really good at people my whole life. I was always everybody's best friend. And honestly, everybody was my best friend. You know, I just loved humans my whole life. I loved helping people. I loved making people laugh all of my life, and I was really good at whatever I put my mind to.
Sounds like you could fit in anywhere.
Yeah. I could go wherever I want, wherever, you know, I really love humans. I've always been that way. And getting into about 12, 13 years old, life kind of shifted. Some hardships happened in our family, and not just that, just a teenage period, right? Like, I'm no longer a kid and I'm moving into like the life, and fear was just dominating me as well. You know, same thing that Matt said, you know, I was just terrified. I was terrified of something that I couldn't even articulate. Right. And so as I get into high school, I'm not too good at school, especially traditionally the way that school is. And so I always failed at school. I had a really, really difficult time. And so I felt really bad about that. And I learned to be the best worst person around. Oh. You know, if I could be good at something, that's where I found myself, because I hurt myself. Sports didn't become an option. And at 15 years old, I got a dental procedure and I got some pain medication. And at that point,
you
I
said
realized
14,
15,
15.
Yeah. 15 years old, got the pain medication. And, very, very similar to Matt. I realized like, oh man, I love this. Mm. You know, I abused it right away. It was in the medicine cabinet and I was sneaking it and taking it before school. It ran out and I didn't think another thing about it until, you know, drugs started coming around more. Mm-hmm. Same story. People, just around people, and they had drugs and whatever it was. I just started trying things. And by senior year, I was down a rabbit hole. I was very straight edge as well. Mm-hmm. Extremely straight edge, but I definitely have this, I believe, this biological hereditary thing, right? Mm-hmm. I have this mechanism inside of me that qualifies me as somebody with addiction. Mm-hmm. And I believe that for myself. Yeah. So it's a matter of time and accessibility. I'm not sure that upbringing or circumstances really played a factor. It was just, if you put that in front of me and I had enough of it, I was going to do it.
Right.
And along the way, you know, I, from there, 14 years of addiction. I didn't get arrested at all. I was just homeless. I was just a homeless, wandering vagabond. Mm. You know, I was the guy everybody loved, and then everybody was like, where did he go? Mm-hmm. Where did that guy go? And so I was the guy that was carrying a five-gallon bag of trash bag, you know, mm-hmm. full of cans. You know, I was canning, recycling, ended up homeless, sleeping in garages, isolated from everybody. And towards the end of the line, you know, I was in and out of my parents' house. My parents started smartening up. My mom was trying to figure out how to get through it herself. And she ended up at a team recovery meeting in December of 2015. And at that point, my life as an addict got really difficult. But I really think that the miracles started really, I can look back and see God's footprints in that. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Because my life got really hard, and that desperation was a necessary part mm-hmm. for me. And as time passed, I was just really tired too. December, homeless, sleeping in a garage. It was freezing cold that winter. Snow everywhere. Had nowhere to go. Nobody to call. You know, and I didn't have a single friend. And I desperately wanted friends. I desperately mm-hmm. wanted people to love me.
As you love people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was invisible. You know, mm-hmm. and one day my mom came and she said, "Okay. Like, we're going to have a talk." And the talk was, you know, this is what it is. Right. You know, if you ask me for one thing, it's not me choosing you, choosing to not have you in my life. It's you choosing not to. If you steal something, it's not me choosing to kick you out or not be in your life. It's you choosing to leave. You know, if you don't get help, it's not us choosing to not have you in our lives. It's you choosing not to be in our lives. You know, there's help out there. And she had been telling me about team recovery. And I was like, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. They're not sober. Nobody's sober. You know, they're definitely not having fun or having
right.
a good life.
Right.
And one day I just looked on Facebook, and I'm a real byproduct of this organization. Yeah. You know, I looked at Facebook and seen a picture of two of the founders, Matt being one of them. And I was like, I can be that.
Yeah.
I can do that. If I can't do anything else in life, I can smile next to that guy.
That's so awesome. You know? Here you are both in the studio today and been working together mm-hmm. for several years now.
Yep.
With Team Recovery.
Smiling.
Oh, and we're going to hear about that union, how you both met, how this all, you know, came together, and what you're doing now and how you're helping people at Team Recovery. Yeah. So if you're just tuning in,